Or today we're talking about the family dynamic. So we've been talking about love and we're talking about covenant love. And in talking about covenant love, we talked last week of how the covenant love in the Bible works within the context of a marriage. And we were able to bring that into a spiritual aspect because we know that Christ and the church, the Bible says, are like a husband and wife, right? And so we understood that part. And so today we want to take it a little bit deeper. Instead of just the marriage relationship, we want to go into the family relationships. And so that's where we throw kids into the mix. And so today in this message, we're going to be talking about parenting to some degree. We're also going to be talking about how to be a child. And I just want you to know this is one of those messages that I think can apply to almost everybody in the room. Most of us in the room are either parents or we're children, right? You're the child of somebody. Now, your parents may not be here anymore, but you're the child of somebody. And on top of all of that, you all have responsibility over other people's kids, right? And so I fully expect if my kids are being stupid that some of you guys would smack them around and help me out. That's what I use Lee and Sophia for. They take care of G2 when I can't. So we all have places in life where we have this relationship when it comes to adults and to kids. And so today's message is going to be about that. I want to remind you of the words that we talked about so far during this series. We've talked about the word phileo. It means friendship. And some of these words may come back up in the message today. These are Greek terms in the Bible. Storge means family. So that's a family relationship, right? The word eros means romance, or it's where we get the word erotic, but that's romantic love. And then mania means obsession, right? We don't necessarily need that kind of love in our life. And the last one is agape, which is unconditional love. That's God's covenant love that he has for all of us. And another quick reminder is our four pillars. We said throughout this series, there's four pillars of covenant love: honesty, honor, submission, and sacrifice. And we said that those four pillars will track us through the covenant love. And we'll see those today throughout the message. Last week, we talked about Ephesians chapter 5. And we there's this one verse that we mentioned that everybody really loved. And so the verse is Ephesians 5:21. And the verse says this: "And further submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." So when Paul says that in Ephesians 5, he says we need to submit one to another, right? And then last week, the first thing he says after that is he says, for wives, this means submit to your husband, be subject to your husband. For husbands, it means you got to love your wife as Christ loves the church. And so he put that verse 21 as kind of a foundational piece, and then he built marriage off of that. But if you continue down the chapter, once you get through chapter 5, it steps over into chapter 6, and that's where we're going to pick up today, because we're still talking about verse 21. You need to understand that. We're still submit one to another, and at first it was husbands and wives. Now we're going to look at what does that mean in the family dynamic. So in chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "Children," so again, let me just reiterate, how do I submit one to another? How do I submit to my kids? How do my kids submit to me? "Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. This is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord." Now there, when it says fathers, ladies, I just want you to know that you're included in that. I know you're not a father, but that's really another way of just saying parents. Okay, it's talking to the adults in the family. So it's not just on the dad, it's for all of us. And so what I want to do is I want to take that kind of verse by verse, piece by piece, and we're going to start with the kids. So for everybody that's in the room today that you're a child, and when I say child, I mean you have a parent. You could be 50 years old and still have a parent, and you need to learn some things from what we're going to say today because these still apply to you even today, even to me. And let me also throw out this little caveat. I'm not a great dad. I don't want to pretend like I'm a great dad. You can ask my kids. They'll tell you I'm not a great dad. I'm not going to get up here and try to act like I've got all of this stuff together, because the fact is, I don't. I'm sometimes a good dad. Yesterday, I was an amazing dad. But today, there's going to be a time I'll probably be a bad dad, right? And so my dadness kind of does this sometimes. Let me just brag on myself for a second since I've already started and you're interested in how I was an amazing dad. Yesterday morning, my daughter has a volleyball tournament in Carrollton, Georgia, hour and a half away, not too bad. I told Perry, I told Emma, I said, we're going to save a little money. We're not going to rent a hotel. We're going to just drive over in the morning until the coach said they got to be there at 6 a.m. Their time, which was like whatever it was. Anyways, I woke up at 3, woke up at 3 a.m., and when I woke up at 3 a.m., got my shower, get everything going, get Perry up, get Emma up. We get in the car by 4. We're on the road. We get to Carrollton, Georgia, 5:30 a.m. We pull into the parking lot. We're getting out of the car, and Emma says, Dad, did you pack my backpack? And I said, I did not. I did not realize that was my job to do. I thought my job was to drive, not pack your stuff. And so Emma says, well, that's where my shoes are. And my knee pads and my arm pads. And I was just like, this is not good. Because it is 5:30 in the morning. I don't want to go buy shoes. Can't buy shoes at 5:30 in the morning. And so Perry says, well, you can just wear my shoes. And Dad will just have to drive back home. Hour and a half. I just drove an hour and a half. Now I'm going to drive an hour and a half back. So Emma gets out, borrows some girl's shoes, and she's playing volleyball. I've driven an hour and a half. I'm just keep saying hour and a half. Hour and a half, and then hour and a half back, get to the house, get the backpack, get the shoes, whatever, get back in the car. Guess what? Hour and a half back. I'm 4.5 hours into this drive. I haven't watched one volleyball game, and I've barely gotten out of the car. Now, I had just worked out the night before, and I'm too old to be working out and then driving 4.5 hours. I got out of the car to go to the volleyball game like this. And I walk up the stairs, had to take an elevator, really, because my legs hurt so bad and my back hurt so bad. We watched the volleyball game all day, and then guess what? Hour and a half back. So I was a great dad yesterday. Just remember. I said that so you could be accountable to all these people right here. So let's talk about what does it mean for children. So let's break down some of these words. The first thing it says is children obey. Obey your parents. The word obey there is what is the foundational, the pillar term is going to be submission. That children must learn how to submit to their parents. We live in a day and age right now where children are put on equal level with parents. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I don't care what book you read, you're wrong. I love my kids desperately. I would die for my children, but they are not on my level. Period. At some point, I have to be a dad, not a buddy. The word submission means, whenever we read this earlier, submission means to know your role and fall within your rank. And today, even in this part right here, I'm going to go ahead and hit parents a little bit and not kids, because really it's not a kid's fault. A kid is like water. They're going to go the easiest path. It's up to us as parents to help kids understand where they rank within the family so that they can thrive within that ranking. And so if we allow kids to be our friends first, then they don't have any reason to submit to us as their parents. One of the things Perry and I noticed, Perry teaches kindergarten. I've worked with kids forever. And one of the things we've noticed nowadays is how little respect there is when it comes to kids speaking back to their parents. If I said some of the things that I've seen said by some of the kids in my life that I've seen, if I said those to my parents, they would have slapped my lips back to Opelika. Like there's a level of respect that needs to be had. And part of it is this idea of submission and knowing your rank within the home. And so kids, let me help you. If you're a child or if you're an adult and you've got adult parents, you need to understand where you rank within that family, and you need to fall in that line and thrive there. Do great there. That's always very important. Hebrews 13:17. Here's why. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. Now, you may say, yeah, but Gabriel, that's talking about spiritual leaders. That's talking about a pastor or an elder or whatever. Your parents are your spiritual leaders. And so you must understand that your parents are accountable to God for you. I was talking to one of my kids the other day, and I said, listen, I'm going to say some stuff to you, and you're probably not always going to like the things I say to you, but I'm accountable to God for what I say to you. And so it's important, it's vital for me to be a leader in the home. It's vital for me because I've got to answer to the Father. I don't want to go to God and God say, I gave you this beautiful child. What did you do with them? Well, I was their friend and I didn't want to tell them what they were doing was wrong. And I didn't want to hurt their feelings. And I didn't want to. And God's going to call me to accountability for that. So kids, one of the things I want you to understand is I want you to understand that your parents are accountable to God for you. So that should make it a little bit easier for you to obey and submit to your parents if you understand that your parents have a spiritual role in your family. And they're in trouble if they mess that up. And so we need to understand that too. So we need to learn how to obey our parents. Obey your parents. What does obeying your parents mean? It means doing what they tell you to do. Yeah, but Gabriel, what if my parents are sinners and they just, you know, they're bad people and they're telling me to do sin? Well, that's a whole other can of worms. If your parents are telling you to do bad things, then you don't have to do bad things. But as far as you can, you got to obey your parents. Let me also say this, and this may be in my notes later on, but we'll go ahead and get it out right now. We talked earlier about the names of love. We said storge was family. We said phileo was friend. Let me help us all here with this whole submission thing in rank and order. When my kids were born, I immediately loved them with storge. Right off the bat, as soon as they were born, I loved them. I loved them. They were part of my family. They were bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Remember we said last week that your wife or your husband become bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. It's not immediate. The first time you meet your spouse, you don't immediately say, I love you like you're my family. As something you grow into, you start as phileo, as friends, and it grows into family. With kids, they are immediately family. As soon as Emma was born, immediately family. As soon as Gabriel was born, he was almost as big as I was. Kid was huge. Immediately family, right? And as much as I have fun, I have a lot of fun with my kids now that they're teenagers. A lot different than when they were little kids. It's a whole different game now. But as long as they live under my roof, I love them storge. As soon as they move out on their own, I can then begin to transition into phileo, friends. My dad and I have a different relationship than Gabriel and I have. Dad and I operate more like friends now that we're both adults. I'm out of the house. I've got my own family. So now he and I operate as friends. Dad doesn't come in telling me what to do. Now Dad and I operate with a relationship where he can give me wisdom, but then there's times that I can give him wisdom. Like he and I talk back and forth on equal level. But as long as I was living under his roof, I wasn't on his level, and that was okay. I needed somebody to be above me, to give me wisdom and understanding. As a matter of fact, and we'll get into this in a few minutes, I don't want to give everything away, but I really, honestly, whether I said it or not, I craved discipline from him. It's important to have an authority within your life as long as you're at home. Once you step out of the house, now our relationship changes. We can be buddies then, but as long as they're in the house. Why is that important? Because later on, we'll get into this idea of discipline, but it's very hard to discipline your buddy. It's very hard to discipline your buddy. So you got to have a level of authority. Part B, it says in here, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. Then it says, honor your father and mother. I want to talk about what does it mean to honor. What it means to honor is to respect, right? To be in awe of. Little kids are always in awe of their parents. Have you ever noticed that? Like if you get a little kid thinks you're the greatest thing in the whole world. And then they get a little bit older and they think you're the dumbest thing in the whole world. And then they move out of the house and they have to do it by themselves and you're back to being really good again, right? It's like, I can't fix this, call dad, you know. But when little kids are little, they love you and they think you're so wonderful. They think you're so smart. I remember when my kids thought I was the strongest man and I just didn't want them to ever go to the gym with me. Because they'll find out the truth. So what does it mean for me to honor my father and my mother? Guys, this is for all of us. This is for all of us. Number one, I just wrote down some thoughts so you can take notes if you need to. If not, I can give you all my notes. Someone asked me last week, they're like, hey, can you ever give us, ask me for my notes. I'll email them. I'll give whatever you want. Number one, love your parents. That's easy. Love your parents. But listen, express that love in a way that they can understand it. This is something we talk about in our house all the time, is learning to express love in a way that mom and dad get it, okay? And even for those of you that are older, express that love to them. Figure out a way that they understand it. Speak their love language. Love your parents. Number two, appreciate them. Learn how to say thank you, right? Recognize their sacrifice. Yesterday, 6 hours in the car, right? Sacrifice. Some of you guys make sacrifices all the time for your kids. You're constantly giving up stuff. If you're a kid in the room or if you're an adult in the room and you don't remember this, your parents sacrificed everything for you. Do you think your parents wanted to go to all of those ball games and watch you sit on the bench? No, they did not. Do you think your parents wanted to drive and spend all of their money to take you to Orlando for a cheer competition? To cheer for nobody? No, they did not want to do that. They sacrificed for you. Parents, we give up a lot of stuff. Do you think mom and dad really wanted to wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning because you were crying because there was a monster under your bed? Your parents thought you were dumb. But they got up and looked under that bed anyway. We sacrifice for our kids. Kids, appreciate their sacrifice. Tell them thank you. Tell them thank you. Number three, this is something we say a lot in our home. Add value to the home. Add value to the home. This is your place to sacrifice for them. I'll be honest, as a kid, I really, looking back on my childhood, looking back on my teenage years, I honestly regret a lot of stuff when it comes to this. Like when I read this, I'm super convicted because I think of all the times I could have added value and I didn't. Sacrifice is different from obedience. Obedience is doing something that you're told to do. Sacrifice is doing something because you know it's the right thing to do without being told. Add value to the home. My kids and I talk about this all the time. Perry and I talk about this all the time. If a kid is at home by themselves and there's dishes in the dishwasher, don't wait on mom and dad to get home from working all day, driving your tail to downtown Birmingham so you could wrestle, and then come back at 8 o'clock at night and there still be dishes in the dishwasher. Right? That's a little thing. Nicole does a good job. Sometimes. All my kids do this sometimes. Add value to the home. Do what you can without being asked. Your parents are making sacrifices, so you have to come back and add some value. Number four, love your siblings. I was talking to Billy, actually, yesterday. He and I were talking about kids, and he was telling me about his kids. And he was telling me how his kids will call each other every day. And I just thought, that's the coolest thing, man. That's the coolest thing. His kids are teenagers, and they still call each other every day. They still talk to each other every day. They hang out with each other. And I think that's so neat, and that's so wonderful. It's important for you to love your siblings. And as I was thinking about this, this verse came to mind, 1 John 4:20. I'm going to read in the NIV. I think I've got ESV. I can read the ESV for you. The ESV says this: if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, the NIV says brother or sister, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he can see, love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God who he has not seen. It's important for us to love our siblings. Why is that important? Because mom and dad love the siblings. I love Colt and I love Emma and I love G2. I love them desperately. And let me tell you something. If they are at odds with each other, if they are mean to each other, it doesn't just break each other's hearts. It breaks dad's heart. It breaks dad's heart. You've got to build unity within your family. How do I add value? Yeah, man, you can wash the dishes, you can cut the grass, you can vacuum the floor. That's adding value. That's helping mom and dad because mom and dad are working and mom and dad are busy. But another way you add value is by adding unity to your home. Love your siblings. Treat them with honor and respect. With mutual submission. That's hard. With mutual submission. And what happens? It brings unity and love back into the home. It makes mom and dad's life easier. I was listening to a podcast yesterday. I don't know if I told you guys this or not, but I had 6 hours in a car. And so I listened to this very long podcast. It's going to keep going, baby. Very long podcast. And within that podcast, it was a podcast on marriage. And it was a pastor who had failed in marriage, cheated on his wife. And somehow they were able to reconcile their marriage. It's a wild, wild story. And a divorce lawyer. And these two guys are talking about marriage. It's a very interesting podcast. And as I was listening to these guys talk, the divorce lawyer says this. He says, one of the things that ruins marriages is kids. And he said, now don't get me wrong. I've got kids and I love my kids. And kids are great and kids are wonderful. And kids bring so much joy. He said, but kids make you wake up in the middle of the night. You lose sleep. You're spending all your money and all of a sudden you don't have time for each other. And he said, kids also add a different element to the home that makes marriage even more difficult. That marriages we have to work harder on our marriages whenever you introduce something else into the ecosystem. And he wasn't saying that kids cause divorce. He was just saying that anytime you introduce something new into the ecosystem, it changes the dynamics. But imagine this. What if the kids within the ecosystem created a place of unity and love and peace? How much better now is the marriage? And kids, if there's anybody in the room that has been through a divorce, your parents went through a divorce, you can always speak to this to know that it's going to be better if you got mom and dad there. It's always better. You want mom and dad to have a good relationship. So help them by loving each other. Number five, listen and share with them. Run to your parents, not away from them. Insert yourself into their lives. I'll speak good about my youngest, Colt. One of the things Colt does is Colt has learned how to insert himself into the lives of others. So the other two kids sometimes give him a little flack. They say he's Honey and Darlin's pet. But the fact is, Colt asks to go to their house every weekend. He could go to his friend's house. He could go to his buddy's house. There's been times when we've said, Colt, we're going over to the Headleys. And him and the Headley boys hang out all the time. We'll say, Colt, we're going over to the Headleys. He's like, I'm going to Honey and Darlin's this week. The man just inserts himself into the life of his grandparents, right? He inserts himself into their lives. He runs to them, not away from them. Whenever we're at home, Colt will insert himself into our lives. The other day, this is it's just crazy to me, but Perry and Colt were in the car, and they're talking about their day, and every day Colt gets in the car when you pick him up from practice. Colt, how was your day? How was track practice? And, you know, what would you do? Colt looks over at Perry and goes, Mom, tell me about your day. See all the moms out there say, yeah, that's it. That's it. What happens? We learn to listen to our parents and share with our parents. That's important. You get yourself in trouble, run to your parents, not away from them. You mess up, you screw up. Instead of trying to hide from your parents, run to your parents. Share your thoughts with your parents. Share what's going on in your life with your parents. Your parents want to hear what's happening in your life. They want to pray with you. They want to love you. They want to help you. Number six, speak well of your parents. Honor them with your words. It doesn't mean you can't joke around. It doesn't mean you can't have fun. But speak well of your parents. And then number seven, learn from your parents. Proverbs 13:1, a wise child accepts a parent's discipline. A mocker refuses to listen to correction. One quick little insert here. What if my parents are evil? The fact is, not everybody comes from a good home. There's abandonment and abuse. There's bad things that happen within a home. What if your parents are evil? How do I honor someone that doesn't love God? How do I honor someone that doesn't love me? One of the best ways you can honor them is by forgiving them. It doesn't mean you say what they're doing is right. It doesn't mean you excuse them. It means you release them. Say, I'm not going to hold on to bitterness. I'm not going to hold on to anger. I'm not going to hold on to rage. I'm going to forgive and I'm going to love. It's a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing to do. But if you do that, you will humble yourself and you'll honor your parents. And blessings always come from honor. Parents, we're going to keep going. So we read about the children, and then it gets down to verse 4, and it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. I'll be honest with you. This is not always my best. Sometimes I provoke my kids. I'm learning. I told you I'm not a great dad. Sometimes I provoke them. Sometimes I get upset and I get angry. And so let's talk about what does that mean to not provoke your kids and to discipline and instruct them. Let's get into those three words and then we'll be done. Listen, I've got a clock up there. It says 9:56. We got lots of time. Church hadn't even started yet, really. So the first thing it says, don't provoke. What does that mean? Where does that stack up in our pillars? That's the pillar of honor and respect. I've got to respect my kids enough not to always provoke them to anger, not to cause bitterness is what that word there. The word provoke to anger, that term actually means to cause bitterness in someone's life. I've got to be careful with how I treat my kids because you can get on the side of abuse. You can get on the side of just mean. I said earlier the thing about knowing your rank and your order and having that authority. But whenever you take that authority to the limit, sometimes that ends up becoming abuse to your kids. And we can't do that. We can't provoke our kids to anger. We can't cause bitterness in their life. So what does that mean? That means that I've got to make sure that I honor and respect my kids. I do need to understand what they're feeling about a situation. Now, I can't let their feelings determine my actions. My kids aren't making decisions for our family. But if I'm going to just up and move our family to Canada, you know that wouldn't be true. If I were to up and move our family to Canada, I wouldn't just blow past my kids and say, y'all don't have a choice, let's go. I would at least talk to my kids. I would give them the honor and respect that they deserve to at least hear them out, right, and talk to them. And so there's an aspect there that we've got to find. There's a line there that we got to understand. The other thing that happens whenever it comes to this is we've got to learn how to recognize bad parenting, admit bad parenting, and apologize for bad parenting. I think parents sometimes we get too prideful and we don't want to apologize when we know we've screwed up. And there's some level of that a kid may not understand. A four-year-old may not understand an apology, but my kids now understand an apology. And there's been times I've had to talk to my kids. There's been times when I've pushed too hard or said some things I shouldn't have said, and I've had to go back to my kids and say, hey, man, I'm sorry. I got in the flesh. I got angry. I was mad. I shouldn't have said what I said. And I've got to learn how to apologize. And listen, that brings honor to your kids. That lets them know they're a valued part of the family. Whenever you're not provoking them, but instead you're honoring them and showing them respect. Again, they don't run the family, but you still have to honor them and respect them. The next thing it says is discipline. It's going to say discipline and instruction, and these are two different things. Discipline is going back to that place of submission, right? So that puts us back in a place of submission. It's understanding my rank and knowing that I'm the authority, not the buddy, right? I'm the authority, not the buddy. At the end of the day, the buck stops with me, and I've got to make sure that I'm leading the family because I'm responsible to God for my family. And so we've got to understand that discipline is important. Discipline is important. The Bible is full of discipline verses. Absolutely full. I looked up discipline just in the book of Proverbs, and it's mentioned 23 times in the book of Proverbs. So get your notes out. Let's go through them all. Just kidding. I'm just going to do three. Proverbs 13:24, those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Wow. No, Pastor. I love my kid, and that's why I don't discipline, because I don't want to hurt their feelings, and I love them, and I don't want them to be mad at me. The Bible says when you don't discipline your kids, you hate them. You hate them. Why? Why do I hate my kids if I don't discipline them? I hate them because what I'm saying to my child, if Emma's doing something wrong and I don't discipline her, what I'm saying is I don't really care how your life turns out. Run your car in a ditch. I don't care. That's what I'm saying to her. But when I discipline her, I'm trying to get her back between the ditches. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. Proverbs 23, 13, and 14. Don't fail to discipline your children. The rod of punishment won't kill them. Physical discipline may well save them from death. Proverbs 29, 15, and 17. To discipline a child produces wisdom, but a mother is disgraced by an undisciplined child. Discipline your children, and they will give you peace of mind, and they will make your heart glad. Discipline isn't always a spanking. Right? Now, there's some of y'all a little bit more old school, and you're like, discipline is always a spanking. It's not always a spanking. I'm going to go ahead and tell you. I'm not being soft, but when I was growing up, it was just a different thing. My parents had, you know, they were fine with physical discipline, but there were times when I would have preferred a spanking. As I got a little bit older, I wanted the spanking because I knew I was smart enough to know, not smart enough not to be stupid, but I was smart enough to know that spanking's going to last 5 minutes or whatever, however long spankings last. Some of you are like, 5 minutes a long spanking. I thought it was pretty good. Whatever, you get it. Spanking lasts a certain amount of time. But if you ground me for 2 weeks, that's 2 weeks that I can't do all the things I want to do, right? And so there's this understanding here when it comes to kids, you got to find the button. One of my old coaches used to tell me that. He said, Gabriel, whenever you're dealing with kids, you got to find the right button to press. And each kid is different. They all have a different button that you press. My sister-in-law, Wendy's over here, and her parents tried to spank her whole life, and she still turned out bad. Like nothing helped her. They would spank her. It didn't matter. It just didn't matter. Some kids just don't respond to that. Some kids just don't care. It doesn't matter to them. But you got to find the right button. My friend that told me that, he said, I had a daughter that went to New Orleans one time, and she went down there on a trip. And while she was down there on the trip, she wrecked her car. And she called me and said that I needed to come down there and get her, fix her car, and bring her back to Birmingham. And he said, but I'm not the one that wrecked the car. She was the one that was being stupid. He said, so I didn't do it. He said, instead, I called someone to pick the car up and put it in a shop down there. And then I bought her a Greyhound bus ticket and said, you will come back to Birmingham on a Greyhound bus. And he said, she cried all the way from New Orleans to Birmingham. He said, but guess what? She learned her lesson not to go off and be stupid. She never did that again. You got to find the right button when it comes to discipline, and not every kid is disciplined the same way. But listen, let me tell you something. They all need discipline. There are times in my life when I wish I would have been disciplined more. I'll be honest with you. I know there was times when my parents probably should have disciplined me, and they didn't. They were being very merciful, but I think I didn't learn a lesson out of that, and it was a lesson to be learned. The second thing that it said, or the third thing it says, is it says we need to instruct them. We need to give them instruction. Proverbs 22:6 says, direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. When I was learning how to drive, my dad was taking me, and I don't know why I remember this, but it's just one of those weird things you remember. I remember driving through downtown Auburn. We went past Toomer's Corner. If you've ever been to downtown Auburn, I haven't been down there in a while, but it used to be just very congested, very tight fit anywhere you went. And so if you go past Toomer's Corner and you're driving on College Street, there's parking on both sides of the road all the way down. And so it's just a very kind of narrow path to get through whenever you're driving. And as I was learning how to drive, I remember I was always afraid of cars coming at me. And so I tended to drive towards the right side of the road, towards the shoulder side of the road. But whenever you're driving on that side of the road and there's cars all stacked up and some of them are trying to get out, I remember my dad telling me, he said, son, you need to drive closer to the middle line than you do the far line. He said, because you could always get over a little bit, but if you're always over here, then you're stuck. And I don't know why that stood out to me, but it did. It just stuck with me my whole life, and I told my kids the same thing when they were learning how to drive. But whenever it comes to instruction, that's one of the things that hits me, is what are our jobs as parents? Our jobs as parents is to keep our kids from running off in a ditch. It's to keep our kids from running off the road. And so what we have to do is encourage them and tell them what you're doing is wrong, and let me show you a better way. And I think where we fail in instruction sometimes with our kids is we often tell them everything that they're doing wrong and never show them a better way. But instruction, you got to have both. A kid needs to hear the truth. We said earlier that one of the foundational pillars of covenant love is honesty. And a kid needs someone to be honest with them. Just tell them the truth. My kids and I have these conversations. They don't like them all the time, but one day I hope they'll look back and think, Dad was being honest with me. When I look at them, I say, hey, here's an aspect of your life I don't like. I don't think this is healthy. I think this is going to hurt you in the long run, and here's a better way to do it. We need to give our kids instruction. Tell them what they're doing is wrong. Be honest with them. But at the same time, give them a better way to do it. So for parents, we've got to don't provoke your kids to anger. And we've got to discipline our kids, and we've got to instruct our kids. If you get away from those things, or if you get out of balance in those things, it becomes abuse real quick, right? Discipline without love is just punishment for the sake of it. That's abuse. Instruction, only telling them what they do wrong, that's going to provoke them to bitterness. Dad was always so critical. He never taught me anything. He only criticized me. And so I catch myself sometimes. There's plenty of times I want to talk to my kids about something, and I'll hold off talking to them until I can think about what's a better way to help them. Because I don't want to just come in and be critical, critical, critical. It's really easy to do, but you got to fight that. Let's end today. I know you guys are tired of hearing me talk about this, but I want to end today with this idea of Father God. As we listen to all this and we listen how to be a kid, how to be a parent, what does the Bible say about those things? Talks about discipline, talks about honesty, talks about honor, talks about submission. Let's take that into our spiritual walk. How does this apply to our spiritual walk? How does this apply to our relationship with God? Well, the Bible says this in Galatians 4, 6, and 7. It says, and because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. I want to focus for a second on the word Abba. The word Abba is a Greek term. It is a Hebrew term that they would use. And what it meant was like saying dad versus father. Or for some of you girls, it may be like saying daddy, you know. I don't know what it's like to have a grown daughter come home and say, Daddy, I love you. But I imagine one day Emma might do it, right? 6 hours, Em. I just need one. I imagine my heart is going to fill up, right? I imagine my heart's going to swell whenever a grown daughter comes home and says, Daddy. I imagine my heart will swell whenever a grown child comes to me and says, Dad. Right? When my sons come home and say, Dad, I need you. I feel like that's going to be a place of just immense pride in my life. Especially if that kid is messed up. Especially if that kid has lost his way. Especially if that kid is hurt or broken. Instead of coming in, you know, hiding from me, staying away from me, if that kid comes in and says, Dad, I messed up and I need you. Like, that's one of those moments that will just break your heart. And what God wants from us is he wants a relationship that's not our Father in heaven. That's not what God wants. He does want honor and respect, and he deserves it. But what God wants is God wants Abba, Father. He wants an intimate, deep, personal relationship. My dad and I have a really close relationship, and we always have. I know with both of my parents, my mom and my dad, I know I can trust them with anything. Sometimes too much. Sometimes I have to tell them to dial it back, right? I'm like, you guys love me way too much. I'm not that good. You need to dial it back. But that's just who my parents are. But I know I can trust them with anything. I know whenever I go on this missions trip in the summer and I'll be gone for 2 weeks, I know my mom will stay with Colt. She'll make sure everything's okay. I can trust the lives of my children with my parents. But when it comes to God, sometimes what we do is we don't always trust Him with everything we've got. Sometimes we try to hold on to aspects of our life. And it's because we view God as this old man with the hammer waiting on us to mess up. Or we view God as this spirit out there somewhere that has no relationship with us. But really what God wants is someone that's going to trust Him and not just obey, but someone that's going to submit their lives to Him. I was reading this week about the idea of trust and the idea of control. And one of the things that I read is it said, if there's an area in your life where you feel like you're in control, that's the same area that you don't trust God in. And for some of us, there may be some areas in our life where we feel like, I've got to hold on to this. And what you're doing is you're not allowing God to be trustworthy. You're not allowing Him to be the Father that He wants to be. When I was a kid, I slept in the car all the time. I mean, it was almost like I was allergic to cars. Like, I would get in the car at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, fall straight asleep. When I say kid, I was in ninth grade, couldn't drive yet, and my mom and dad would have to pick me up from the school to take me to the orthodontist, and I would sleep from the school to the orthodontist and back. Like, it's weird, right? Nobody does that. But I got to thinking about it, and I thought, whenever I get in the car with G2 or Emma and they're driving, guess what? I don't sleep at all. I'm wide awake. I am zoned in. I'm watching everything on the road. When I'm in the car and G2 and Emma are driving, I'm hitting the invisible brake. Anybody know what that is? That car puts those headlights on in front of you and you start doing this, trying to stop the car and it ain't stopping. I'm reaching over for the steering wheel trying to help them. Why? Because I don't trust them yet. I don't trust them to drive yet. I mean, they've been driving for a whole year, Emma. I mean, a whole year, but I still don't trust her yet. But when I was in the car with my parents, I trusted my parents. And when I trusted my parents, I could relax enough that I could fall right to sleep. Jesus was in the bottom of a boat. The boat was in the middle of a storm. Everybody else is freaking out. What is Jesus doing? Sleeping. Why? He trusted His Father enough that He could rest even in the middle of the storm. And there's some of us today in the room, we're going through some storms in life, and we're trying to hang on, and we're stomping the brake. We're trying to take the wheel. You know, Carrie Underwood is singing, Jesus, take the wheel, and I'm singing, I'm give it back, right? I want the wheel. Why is that? It's because we can't trust Him yet. And He's saying, listen, I want to be your Abba, Father. I want to be the one that you can trust with every single aspect of your life. If you'll just trust me. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do and He will show you which path to take. The word trust there is similar, adjacent to submitting. I can submit to someone I can trust. Why don't you stand up with me today? I've got a prayer team. They're going to come down to the front. They would like to pray with you. If there's anything you need prayer about today, we want to pray with you. And for some of you, there may be an area in your life. Listen, let's just go ahead and throw this out there. If you're a parent, chances are you're not perfect at it. Amen? Okay. We're all not perfect at it. If you're a kid, chances are you're not perfect at it. Amen? Y'all weren't quite as loud as the parents were. kids don't realize it yet. You're not perfect, kid. Just let me tell you. So we can all pray about that. Matter of fact, I'll pray over you that God helps all of us to be better parents and better kids. I think that's good for all of us. But there may be a place in your life where you've not submitted to God. There may be a place in your life where you're not trusting the Father. You're okay with God, but it's the Father that you're struggling with. And if that's you today, we want to pray with you. And we want to pray for you. And we want to help you and be a blessing.